welcome you to Trinity United Methodist Church. We'd love for you to visit in person, and if you would like to help support the ministries here at Trinity, offerings may be mailed to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, where we offer worship service at 9:30 and Sunday school at 10:45. Well, following special music. Following our special music, our scripture will be Hebrews 10:19 through 22, and will be found on page 1191 in your pew Bibles. And following that will be Pastor Mike's message, Blessed Assurance.
The special music this morning is by half of the Trinity Boys with our accompanist, George Ann Kuntz. We're going to sing a song entitled, My Life Flows On, How Can I Keep From Singing? It's a song by Robert Lowry, and I just quickly checked our hymnal, and he is responsible for several of our songs in our hymnal, including Up From the Grave Here Rose. So we know something of his music, but this is a special one to George Ann, and it fits well with our theme for this morning. So we're going to try to sing a couple verses of this together.
My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the clear, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to
Hebrews 10:19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. The word of God for the people of God.
Would you join me in prayer? Loving God, as we come before you again, we are so thankful for your word, the word that inspires us, the word that teaches us who we are, who you are, and the relationship that can exist between us. Father, continue to speak to our hearts and minds today and allow us to grow in our faith in you. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As you may have remembered hearing last Sunday, this month is the 200th anniversary of Fanny Crosby's birthday. As that birthday draws near this month, we're going to be spending each week of Lent looking at some of her inspired poems that have become beloved hymns of the faith of our church. And this Sunday, we're going to look at a very special hymn that is very popular and has been a part of a hymnal for a long time. Keep in mind, though, that even though Fanny was born blind, basically, she learned to play the common instruments of her day. She taught herself how to play the piano. She learned how to play the organ. She learned how to play the harp. She even learned how to play the guitar. And not only did she focus on playing instruments, but she also used her God-given instrument of her voice. And she continued to memorize songs and would sing soprano for all of these songs she enjoyed. Maybe because of her musical interest, she became very good friends with another member of the John Street Methodist Episcopal Church there in Manhattan. This lady was also a musician. Her name was Phoebe Knapp. Phoebe Knapp, actually her birthday is tomorrow. Although she was about 19 years younger than Fanny, her birthday is tomorrow. Phoebe Knapp's husband was the co-founder of Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. So they were doing all right at that time. Phoebe, though, was more of a musician. And she liked to spend time creating tunes, even hymns themselves. In fact, she ended up writing more than 500 gospel songs herself. They've not come down through history as very popular like Fanny's have. In fact, there are none of her songs in our hymnal. But at that time, she was very prolific as well. But she and Fanny became very good friends. And Phoebe would often go to Fanny's home, and they would play music, they'd sing together, they'd kind of compare notes on what kind of hymns God was inspiring them to create. On this one day in the year 1873, Phoebe had gone over to Fanny's home, and as she was playing the piano there, she told Fanny that she had come up with a new tune. But she didn't have any words for it. She just liked the tune. So she told Fanny, "Let me play the tune for you, and you listen and see what it says to you." So she played it through once. And then as she began to play it through a second time, Fanny began to sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." That's what it said to her. And that's what the song ended up being. They collaborated on the music, on the words, and it wasn't long before they created the hymn that's now before us today. So I invite you to take your hymnals here in the sanctuary and open them to page 369. And I'd like you to follow along and look at this wonderful statement of faith and see what it might say to us. Blessed Assurance, in that first verse, Fanny is trying to capture our identity, who we are. We are people who have received an assurance that God loves us. And I have a feeling that she based those words on the scripture we heard this morning from Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, "Draw near to God with full assurance of faith." I think that's where she plucked that notion out of. That full assurance. Now, many people experience assurance in different ways. The way that you are assured of God's love for you may be different than mine. It may be different for many people. We all seem to have that assurance come to us in various ways. I remember the night that John Wesley wrote about needing that assurance for himself. He was a preacher. He knew all about the faith. He knew all about the Bible as much as he could. He understood what faith was about, but there was something lacking in him. He hadn't felt like God really loved him until one night when he was at a Bible study. And he said his heart was strangely warmed, and he felt an assurance that God really did love him. And that changed the course of his ministry. Not all of us have that kind of a heartwarming experience. That assurance can come in many ways. But whatever way it comes, it usually leads to one result, where we finally say, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Now, on the surface, that kind of sounds a little odd, to say Jesus is mine. We may be used to thinking about, I belong to Jesus. Like, I'm now a part of His family. To say that Jesus belongs to me may be a little unusual. But I think that what Fanny is capturing here is the kind of relationship, the kind of commitment expressed in a wedding, where two people come together and they basically express to each other, from this point on, I belong to you, and you belong to me. We're one. And we want that bond to continue. I think that's what Fanny's getting at here. Now I belong to Jesus. He's always wanted me and always been including me, but now I reciprocate. This is my response. So at the end of the verse then, in verse 1, Fanny draws from several different scriptures here to point out who we now become. Because Jesus is mine, I know that I am an heir of salvation. I know that I've been purchased by God. I know I've been washed in the blood. I know I'm born in the Spirit. She picked out some great descriptions of us. And I'm wondering, as you sing that song, and as you look at that verse, which one of those four descriptions really speaks to your heart? Do you think of yourself as an heir of salvation? Like, I'm the prince or princess because I'm in the royal family? Do you think of yourself as the purchase of God, that God went to such lengths in order to bring you into the family? Or do you think of yourself more as washed in the blood, that I've been cleansed because of what Jesus did for me? Or do you think of yourself more as being born of the Spirit? It's that Spirit that's given me life and given me hope. None of them are wrong, but maybe one of those speaks to you more than another. Now, if you look at verse 2, Fanny went on to describe some of God's gifts to us. In this relationship we have with Christ, we may receive what she calls visions of rapture. What does she mean? Visions of rapture. Well, this is one of the very few places you'll find in her hymns where she mentions seeing, sight, vision, because she had never experienced any of those. But what I see Fanny saying here is that she can imagine the presence of God. In her mind's eye, she can see something of who God is and God there for her. And as I look at this verse, I have a feeling Fanny is drawing upon a scripture story. You remember the story of Jacob out of Genesis chapter 28. Jacob has been sent from his family to his uncle Laban in order to secure a wife. On the way, he is sleeping one evening, and as he's laying there asleep, he has a vision of rapture for him. Because all of a sudden, Jacob sees this huge ladder from heaven all the way down to where he's at. And he sees angels descending and ascending on this ladder. And at the very top of the ladder, he sees his God. And God begins speaking to Jacob and assuring Jacob of all the promises that he offers to Jacob, telling Jacob that he will be with him, that he can count on God to take him to Laban, to bring him success, to bring him back home. At the end, when Jacob finally wakes up and out of that vision, Jacob realizes he has been in the house of God. He called it Bethel. And he realizes that God has given him some wonderful promises, some assurances. And Jacob's response is, if all these things come true, if the Lord will indeed be with me, you will be my God. Just like earlier we sing, Jesus will be mine. You will be my God. I think this is the image behind what Fanny was sharing. That we have opportunities for maybe not visions, but somehow we receive that reassurance that God is near. That assurance of God's mercy. That assurance of God's love. Let me tell you a unique story of that kind of assurance that took place during World War II. There was a man named Reuben who lived in Sweden at the time. And instead of serving in the military, he was given civilian work to do. So he was employed hundreds of miles from home for the war effort, but on a military base, but doing civilian work there. Well, while Reuben was on the base, he became seriously ill. He had a high fever. It was painful just to breathe. He was coughing all the time. The doctors determined that he was dealing with pleurisy out of tuberculosis. He was a very sick man. It would take a while for him to recuperate. So that very day, Reuben wrote a letter to his wife that he had left way down there at her home and told her that he was very ill and that he needed her prayers. A few days later, Reuben was lying there in that hospital room, still suffering as he had been for several days now. And all of a sudden, he says, this soft, warm hand just glided across his chest. And all of a sudden he felt the assurance saying, now I'm healed. Now I'm healed. Reuben couldn't believe what was happening. Was he really healed? So he thought he would try a deep breath. He breathed deeply. There was no pain. There was no intense coughing. He felt healed. By the next morning, they determined his fever was gone. He was well. That next morning, he wrote another letter to his wife, telling her what had happened that night, how incredibly exciting it was to have this healing suddenly come on him and how he was doing. Later on, he discovered the other part of the story from his wife. When she had received his first letter and learned that he was very severely ill, that evening she knelt by her bedside and she prayed fervently to God and said, God, heal Reuben. Touch him with your hand. And as they compared notes later on, they discovered she was offering her prayer on the same day, at the same hour, that Reuben felt that healing, that hand come across him. What a tremendous assurance God gave that couple. Now that's a unique story. That doesn't always happen to everybody. And it can happen in many different ways. But God finds ways to give us an assurance that God is there. That God is working in our lives. That God still dearly loves us. And as we sing that verse in the song, I'm wondering if you will think of some way that God has brought you an assurance. Have you ever been given that kind of a vision? Have you ever had that feeling that God is there? Have you ever heard a voice within speaking words of assurance? How has God made that love and grace known to you? Let's look at the last verse then. In the last verse of the song, Fanny describes our present state. The first half of it is about life here on earth. She says, because of this relationship we have with Christ now, we have a secure, we have a peaceful relationship. We find reasons to be happy. We find reasons to feel blessed. There's nothing that can remove that joy. There's nothing that can take away our assurance that we rest in God. And then in the second half of the verse, Fanny points us forward. How we are waiting for a new day to arrive someday. That new day where we won't need an assurance. A new day in which there will be no pain, no concern, no worry, no crying, no tears. But meanwhile, until that day comes, she says, our life is full. Because of our relationship with Christ, our life is full of goodness. It's full of that love that won't let us go. I haven't mentioned the refrain because to me this finishes the song. This is easily the story, the song of many Christians. What she has expressed in these three verses offers us abundant reasons to praise God. Because of what God has done for us, who we now are, and the relationship we now enjoy with God. So let me ask you this morning, is this song, is this story ours? Is this how you see yourself? Especially in verse 1, is this how you see yourself? Is this how you see your relationship with Christ? One in which you now can rest, enjoying the life we've been given with a hope for the future? Or are we still seeking what she called this blessed assurance? Are we still looking for some certainty that I should follow Jesus? That He really has done this for me? Are we still looking for a faith that's not beset by doubts? Are we still trying to find a faith that we can count on, that we can stand on, that won't let us down? If you are, I pray that you'll let the words of this song sink into your soul. Let her witness to this blessed assurance find its way into your soul to the point that you can look at yourself and say, I am loved by this God. This God has given me this life, this new life. And now I can say, Jesus is mine. I know He's yours, and I know He's yours, but now I know He's mine as well. May you find that assurance. May your heart be stirred with that knowledge that, yes, I belong to Jesus. And now I know He's mine as well. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the inspiring work of your Holy Spirit as it speaks to the hearts of men and women and young people, leading them to understand more about you, more about themselves, more about this life of faith. Lord, we're especially thankful for that one day so many years ago when you brought together two beloved sisters of faith. You inspired a tune and then went to inspire the words. And now, Lord, that song speaks for us. We thank you for the song that reminds us who we are, reminds us of the relationship we have with you, reminds us of what the promises are that reassure us of your love and mercy. But Lord, we do pray for those that don't have this assurance yet. We know it's only a matter of time. You never give up on a single person. You love them too much to let them go. So Lord, lovingly but firmly keep inviting them to know you better and to somehow find that reassurance for themselves that they are beloved and they can be in the family of God as well. Thank you, Lord, for that invitation and for all that you've given to us who walk in this life of discipleship. We pray all this in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So now I invite you to sing together this song that Fanny and Phoebe came up with for us. Number 369, you can remain seated as we sing together.